goes, he's not on yet. I mean, we're waiting for him to call. I told you, play him in and out. We played the song here. We're waiting for Mike to call. He'll join us shortly here, live from the Mike Francesa Studios in downtown Manhattan. Remember the train set that Mike used to have? Man, that was great. Either way, we're waiting for Francesa here, who will join the show in a little bit. We'll try to get some insight into what went on with the Giants stuff, the Giants and Giants meeting up, and all New York sports. That's what I really want to do. I want to talk New York sports with the New York Sports Talk legend. And here he is, Mike Francesa, the man of the week with the million views that you got going on. How are you, Mike?
Kyle, what's going on?
All right, how'd this thing come together with the Giants and Giants?
About 2 months ago. They asked me if I would do a podcast, Eli's podcast. And Eli and I have always maintained a good relationship. So they texted me and asked me if I would do his podcast. I said yes. They tried to pick a date where it both works because I'm away a lot this time of the year. I just came back from 2 weeks in Saratoga. And they then came up with this idea. Now, it was all them. Give them credit. It was Eli and his people, and they sent me the storyboards, and I loved it. I said, this is great. I'll do it. So before we shot the before we did the podcast, we shot this thing and a couple of takes, a couple of different versions. I knew it was going to do very well. I knew it was going to be good, and obviously it turned out very well.
Mike, I was shocked to see it. And not that I didn't think it would do well, obviously, but I was like, it caught me off guard, caught me by surprise because it kind of out of nowhere, and it was great. Now, did you hear the caller? He happened to call the fan a couple times that day. He was awful. He didn't seem to
No, I didn't hear him. I was out of town. I didn't know. Right afterwards, I went right back out of town, so I wasn't aware that he called. Someone told me that he was on the fan, though.
Yeah, he called me and just had no interest. He didn't know what was going on. He had no idea who I was. Then he called Marash and Loogie, and understandably, he didn't know who those guys were. And
right.
Then he just didn't seem to have any fun with it whatsoever.
I'm surprised he knew who you were.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't. But he definitely didn't know who those guys were. Anyway,
I think the call was. I think I heard two versions that the call was either 2013 or 2015. I'm not sure which one was accurate. But it, you know, it's funny. That call surprised me because it's the call that I think got the most reaction in the history of the entire fan. And it surprised me because at the time it was an odd call. And in the beginning I was like, what is this guy serious? And then I started playing up to it and made a whole joke out of the whole thing. But I didn't think it was going to have the impact that it did. And it had incredible legs. And believe it or not, when I went in there to shoot this that day, and we shot it in the hotel where the Giants were staying because they were off that day, they're coming off losing 12 out of 14. They had just got beat by the Pirates. They flew in, they're playing the Mets the next day, and they were nice enough to do that, two of their biggest stars, and they couldn't have been nicer. And believe it or not, they knew of the call. So that thing has had incredible legs. They were well aware. They were thrilled to do it. Now, listen, it was Eli who put it together. I don't think anyone but Eli could have, or someone of his stature could have put it together where the Giants would have agreed. But the Giant players were thrilled to do it, and they were great sports about it. And it turned out really well. It really did.
You still have a good relationship with the Giants? We'll get to the baseball in a little bit. Where's your relationship with the Giants?
No, I don't. I don't, Sal. I have a good relationship with Eli. I don't have a good relationship with the Giants since the Gettleman days because I was very hard on Gettleman and very hard on a couple of their coaches. And listen, they were inept. And John got very upset with me. So, no, I don't think I'd be – I think if I went there now, I would not be very welcome, to be honest with you. I haven't been in the good favor. I used to have a great relationship with the Giants. I think now I would say I have a poor relationship.
Where do you think they're at going into the season here with Russell Wilson now?
I don't trust Russell Wilson anymore, but that's not the point. I think there's two things. Number one, the Giants could be 40% better this year, and it won't show up in the record. I've heard people recently when I've been in the car or driving around say that they don't think the schedule is as hard as it was made out to be. Well, I was one of the ones who made it out to be that hard, and I disagree completely. I think the schedule is brutal. And I'm going to tell you this. Schedules make a big difference because when you need that breather, when you need that bad team coming into your building and you're going to play at Kansas City, and then you got a trip to the Eagles. So you got the Eagles twice in 3 weeks. I think the Giants could be 40% better this year, and it doesn't show up in the record. Here's what I'm worried about. Their defense is going to be improved. Obviously, their pass rush looks like it could be special. Let's see if it is. Their run defense leaves a lot to be desired. Let's see how that works out. The offensive line is a huge problem, and it remains, despite what they might say, despite anything, it's still with injuries, and I'm not going to get into the particular things I've heard, but injuries and ineptitude, that offensive line is still a major, major problem for the Giants, and that will hold them back incredibly.
You believe in the head coach. I've been a backer of his. It's getting harder and harder to believe in him when he keeps
he's coming. He's puzzled me. Now, I don't know him, and I've never sat down and had a talk with him in my whole life. I was impressed by his first year. He took a big step backwards, and I think what happened is his early success made him less tolerant to what happened afterwards. I think he thought he was going to be a real big success, and instead it backfired, and they made terrible decisions, and the organization made terrible moves, and they wound up with what they've been left with, and they are a long way from good. Now, I think they've improved the team this year, but let me ask you something. How does he judge? How does John judge? And he makes the football decisions. How does John judge whether he wants to keep the coach or not, because they could have a bad record and still be improved. Now, here's why I think they actually bought themselves two bites at the apple. If they can win with the veteran quarterback, they stay. If they lose early, which I think is very possible, and get a bad record, then they go to the kid quarterback, and he shows anything, well, they're not going to want to change his coach and his coordinator and the whole system for him again if he's now they found the guy they think is their future. So they get two bites at the apple this year if they play it right, even if they're bad. So I think that does give them a decent chance to come back.
Yeah, I thought if they're going to make a change with Dable and Shane, it should have been ahead of this year once they draft the quarterback.
Yeah, well, the Giants have done everything half-assed in recent years, and this made no sense again. Okay, let's be honest. But they're there now. And like I said, two bites at the apple. If they surprise because of their defense or Wilson plays well, okay, bingo. If not, and they get off terribly, and now Dort shows promise and a future, and now they get excited about him, they aren't going to, because they don't want to change him after 1 year and give him a whole new system and a whole new coaching staff and everything else, which will take him 2 years to learn. So I think they get two bites at the apple. One thing I love is I had two players that I always pick a couple of players all year that I love. One was the Penn State tight end who I think is going to be a tremendous pro. I love him. Okay, but I understand why the Jets took the tackle. I was torn between taking the tight end and the offensive lineman. I was last year, too. And I said take the lineman last year out of Penn State, and I was wrong. They should have taken the tight end because he's a great player for the Raiders. Now, the other player is Scadaboo. I love Scadaboo, but here's already the problem. You can eat peanuts off Scadaboo's head. He's a little guy, okay? He's already getting hurt, which scares me. So they might have to really use him as a situational back, because I think he could become an incredible fan favorite and a very productive NFL player. I love that guy.
Yeah, I love to see them start running the football. I know everybody made a big deal about Daniel Jones and obviously now Russell Wilson and Malik Nabers. Build it inside out, run the football, and then build off of that.
I think they're going to throw it to Scadaboo a lot, too. I think you're going to see him catch the ball a lot.
You know, the Jets have had their quarterback troubles throughout the years, but even as bad as it's been here, it's been worse in Cleveland. And Joe Flacco named the starter yesterday, but also bring in Tyler Huntley now. So they've got five quarterbacks on the roster. So one of those of which we know is Shedeur Sanders, and they also have Dylan Gabriel there. They've got Kenny Pickett there on his third team. Tyler Huntley now. I mean, it is a mess. I mean, that team in that division, with the Steelers expected to be good again, I would think. Obviously, the Baltimore Ravens, who Phil Simms said was the most talented team, best roster in football. I mean, to have the situation they have at quarterback right now, where they're their best option is another year of Joe Flacco at, what is he, 41 now, 42? And I understand he gave him life a couple of years ago, but,
you know, he gave him life a couple of years ago, but they didn't want to bring him back because Deshaun Watson was coming back from injury, and they didn't want to put pressure on Deshaun and his guaranteed contract. And that's why he ended up leaving, going to Indianapolis. And, like, he was a fallback position for them. Kenny Pickett, you know, has got a sore hamstring. Dylan Gabriel, another draft pick of theirs, has a sore hamstring. And Shedeur Sanders is dealing with a sore shoulder. So this Huntley signing, and I just, you know, did a sports betting on it, is really, to me, it looks like a camp arm situation. They needed somebody in there to be able to throw.
Yeah.
And that's probably what he's there for. Unless somebody else has got a much more serious injury than they're alluding to right now. But, you know, this Kenny Pickett, he's got a million opportunities and just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, well, his biggest opportunities with the Steelers when they drafted him in the first round at a Pitt and essentially, you know, got out there and started playing right away.
But now he's stuck in the Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith world where
Those guys came out of it.
I know, but he's running out of time to actually show that he can play. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see whether or not, you know, or when he comes back, if they decide to keep him or they realize that this is, you know, maybe a guy that's just too oft injured. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Cleveland Browns had Jameis last year. They decided not to have him this year. I mean, with the situation that they have out there now, you'd think that that would be a great spot for him. And I don't know what the Giants, like, how many, like, they're going to keep all four guys and, you know, Tommy DeVito probably on the practice squad, right? That's going to happen. Like,
I'm assuming that's going to happen, but you never know. I mean, like, who knows? You never know how they're evaluating these players. I know, you know, from a Jackson Dart standpoint, I know how they're evaluating him. They're evaluating him in certain situations. That's why Jameis was making fun of, you know, putting Jackson in there when they got down to the red zone. They wanted to see whether or not, you know, he was going to be able to complete a pass for a touchdown, and they're going to call play, and they're trying to ramp up some of the anxiousness and anxiety just to see how he reacts in practice. But, you know, I would imagine they'll keep all four some way, and the way that you explained it would be the way that to do that. But I mean, it's Russell's job, just like it's Joe Flacco's job, just like it's Aaron Rodgers' job. You know, they all have their jobs now, and it's up to them to hold on to those jobs by winning games. If they're losing games, then all of a sudden all bets are off.
Yeah, I mean, I think, too, that as much as Jameis Winston's become a fan favorite in the NFL just about everywhere, you know, if the Giants are falling out of it and not winning games, the fan base is going to want to see Jackson Dart and not Jameis Winston. That's what they're going to want to see.
You might want to see a game with Jameis just to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, true. We know what's going to happen, though. He's going to throw for five touchdowns one game and 400 yards, and next game he's going to throw for five picks, and he's going to do it all over again. That's what he is. It's what he's been.
And, you know, there's a reason why, like, you know, with Cleveland, who needed quarterbacks, there's a reason why, and I would say the same thing with Pittsburgh, it's a reason why that they didn't resign those guys that were there last year. There's something about them.
Yeah.
You know, that it and they went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they fell apart towards the end of the season and then lost in the first round, but yes, they did.
So you got to believe, like, if I had to project out of the 32 NFL teams, the two worst teams in the league are
the New Orleans Saints. Yeah.
Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be Cleveland. I mean, the Giants are still in that conversation.
Where's
Sorry.
Miami? Weird one, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could be bottom five. But, I mean, the Jets and the Giants are right there. I mean, they both, you know, had miserable seasons. I mean, the Giants especially, and I understand they brought in a lot of players and new energy and this and that, but they still won three games last year.
All right, so you could say bottom third team. I didn't say, like, they're not 31st and 32nd. Like, as the season starts, their win total will be in the bottom third of the NFL, the over-unders.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Cleveland then 31 and the Saints 32.
I think the NFC North is going to be a bitch. The AFC North is going to be a bitch. I don't know about the Colts and what they're doing with Daniel
Jones. And
the
Panthers, but I mean, Bryce Young started to play a little bit better last year. They look like the Panthers got to be right there.
Colts?
Yeah.
I mean, decent roster, another quarterback quandary.
Yeah, they're definitely bottom third without a doubt. Yeah, those are some bad football teams. And we know bad football teams around here in New York, don't we?
I feel like we're experts.
Yes, indeed. Al, I know you were on vacation, but did you happen to catch any of the clips that were posted or anything from Giants camp?
I saw the unlimited one.
That was fun. I got him to do that. I wasn't totally sure if he was like having fun with it at first, but then when he did the 3-2-1 unlimited, then I knew he was having fun with it. But he came. I think you would have been fascinated by him because he came in, Russell Wilson, like trying to butter Boomer up. So I guess you guys shared a coach.
Pete Carroll.
No. There was another guy he brought up. He didn't bring up Pete Carroll.
Oh, Dana Bible.
Yeah. So yes. He was like, we used to talk about Boomer and, you know, with Dana Bible. And I know you had a great relationship there, Boomer, with Dana Bible, you know, doing that whole thing.
Yeah,
like, he was just, he took out that.
Oh, I can see right through that.
Right. Yeah. I know you can.
I mean, but you got to understand, we're there at training camp. This is not about hammering people. It's about talking about what they bring to the team.
Oh, obviously, but he definitely was trying to butter you up.
But Russell Wilson was only one of just a very few quarterbacks where when we interviewed them at Super Bowl, Boomer said, give me a picture with him. Solo Boomer. And I have a Boomer Russell Wilson one, which Boomer wanted. The the Boomer Patrick Mahomes, of course, Boomer wanted a solo picture. And then it was one of the Bengals, just because he was a Bengal. It was maybe the Red Rifle or whatever he called himself.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah, Andy Dalton. Those are the only ones that like Boomer requested.
Wow, what a trivia question. Photo with.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that, but it's usually guys that I do have I don't know how long ago that was, an affinity and respect for. So that's probably why I wanted that picture.
Yeah, and another interesting one that happened there at Giants camp. So Dexter Lawrence, who's gigantic, and we take a picture with him, and it actually is a really good picture of him like leaning on you because he's so much bigger.
I took his arm and put it around my shoulder.
Right. But he's like still he's so much bigger. It's like he's leaning down on you.
Yeah.
But he requested that the picture be from the waist up. And I can't figure out why. Now, he was wearing sweatpants, and he's a big guy. He's always been a big guy.
Right.
He looked like himself. He was not out of shape.
He looked normal.
So why the waist up photo?
Small balls.
No. There's no way Dexter Lawrence has small balls. There is no way.
Oh.
Do you think maybe he got caught in a picture once like you did at the softball game and like the Schwantz was popping through the pants and he's like, I can't have that again. That was embarrassing for me type of thing.
Maybe,
why else?
I have
Izzo
no idea.
And I were trying to figure this out.
I didn't know. I didn't even know that was the thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just finding out about this right now.
Well, you were standing right there. So
yeah, but I didn't know. I did not know that was a request of his.
No, he said, and Izzo laughed at first, thinking he was joking around. And then he goes, no, waist up only.
Waist up only?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's got something to do with his lower half.
Yeah, I know, but you couldn't see anything.
I wasn't looking, so
I
don't
know. Saying, but it's
I
not
mean,
like
you guys look at everything. I mean,
he had sweatpants on, and he had a sweatshirt on. To me, that's interesting that he requested.
I tried to get Gio to go one-on-one with Dexter Lawrence it was Sean Marash.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, my guy, the guy's 370 pounds.
Oh, man, he would have forklifted you. That would have been awesome.
370 pounds.
There was a D lineman. He used to play for the New Orleans Saints. I don't think he's still alive. Maybe he is. His name was Jumpy Gethers, and he used to have this forklift move. He would forklift guys on the field and throw them back into their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Is he still living?
Yeah, he's still alive.
He is.
Okay. Jumpy Gethers. Okay. Why'd you think he was dead?
I don't know. How old is he?
65.
Hey, you're older than me.
Yeah.
Tonight we've got three football games. I think there's three more tomorrow. The Giants could start in Saturday afternoon. The Jets could start in Saturday night. I think the Jets are in Green Bay. The Giants are in Buffalo. So As you look at these two, it's interesting because you've got two teams that haven't played well the last few years. We know this. But we've got two teams with leadership at the top that are in completely different places. As I guess my question would be, as I look at these two, how are the two camps different, or are they? When you've got Aaron Glenn trying to make his mark and turn around a program, Brian Daboll has been, you know, Al asked me a question the other day, which I thought was really good. He said, when you went to Giants camp, did the Giants, was anything different about it? Did they seem cocky? Did they seem humble? And to me, they felt very humble, energetic, and we know we've got to prove it to you. How are the two camps different right now?
Well, for me, I think that there is a level of energy at the Giants simply because from the coaching staff, they know that if they have a disastrous year, they're going to be gone. So there is that, you know, kind of walking on thin ice feel to it. But I also felt like there was a professionalism that was associated with Russell Wilson. You know, I've said it a million times. He's a winning player. He's not the exciting player that he once was, but he is a winning player, and he will get you in the fourth quarter most of the time mm-hmm. with either the lead or within a touchdown of the lead or a score of the lead. And I think that this defense and the addition of Scadaboo and Abdul Carter and, of course, Jackson Dart, there's a little bit of energy because of those young kids and the youthful nature, and especially Abdul Carter, you know. And everybody's also expecting a huge year from Malik Nabers. And they do have some really top-end players. When you throw Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence in there, you're like, damn, and Bobby Okereke is a hell of a linebacker. Mm-hmm. So they have competitive players, very competitive players. They just need to be competitive and fight in these games. And if they can split their first two games, I think they'll get off to a decent start. If they lose their first two games, I think that's going to be a struggle. And then I think the fans are going to want to be screaming for Jackson Dart. On the other side for the Jets, you know, there are going to be growing pains. A rookie head coach, rookie offensive coordinator, trying to figure out a quarterback who's struggled everywhere he's been since he's been in the league in Justin Fields, and he's struggling on the practice field, and it's being reported as such. So there are things that are happening over there that will be out of Aaron's control. Just simply, he doesn't have Jared Goff as a quarterback like they had in Detroit. But overall, I would say that Aaron Glenn is trying to create a whole new atmosphere, which I do believe is working, because we have not seen one of these leaked type of articles from anybody that covers this team about what's going on over there. I don't think anybody truly knows outside of the building what they're thinking internally about who's making a team, who's not making a team, and what did they really, truly think about Justin Fields.
Now, you mentioned Fields struggling, and I read all the articles, too. I see, or at least saw the headlines and some of the posts on social media. It's still August 6th or 7th.
Every game, but just so you know, every coach, every play is evaluated. Every play is looked at. Every position coach is watching their players really closely. Tanner Engstrom is trying to figure out Justin Fields. Where can we put him so we can get the best out of him? Look, I told you, his biggest problems are, number one, accuracy, and number two is basically going through his progressions and anticipating throws. So sometimes, you know, like when Kurt Warner was at the top of his game, nobody anticipated throws better than he did when he was the all-pro quarterback.
That's because he recognized what he was seeing?
Yeah, and plus, you know, remember, he was an older player, too, you know, so he took over, on a great team with Mike Martz as their offensive coordinator. And I always point to him because he did it in Arizona, too, and he would have done it here in New York had Eli Manning not been here. But the quick release, the reading of the defenses, the accuracy was uncanny. I'm not saying he was Dan Marino, but he was he played the game like that, like the quick release, the accuracy, and the ball was out of his hands. And he would get it into his playmakers' hands, and then they would go and make the play. So, Justin Fields is just not at that level when it comes to processing the defenses. That's just been the biggest knock against him, and that's the thing that he's got to learn. And unfortunately for him, he's learning yet another offense, a new offensive coordinator, and a new system. And the guys that are playing with him probably know that there's going to be a little bit of indecision. So the snap counts are going to be a little bit off. There may be some holding penalties. There could be some false start penalties. All that kind of stuff that comes along with a guy that is not used to the offense that he's playing.
Wouldn't that then lend itself to them? And I don't know what the plan is right now, but wouldn't you want to see him then in these games a little bit just to kind of work those kinks out?
I want to see. Guys should play. I'm a big proponent of guys getting out there and feeling what it's like and getting hit. And I know that it's a risk. And I know that if something happens to a player of significance and they get hurt in preseason, and then everybody's screaming and yelling, why are they playing and why are we even playing these games? You know, the first month of the season is legitimately preseason for all these guys. But I know that Joe Burrow is going to play in Cincinnati this year.
Good.
He needs to play. He needs to get out there and feel it. And I'm not saying he needs to throw for 500 yards in a game or play more than a quarter, maybe two series, whatever it is. But he's got to feel the pass rush. He's got to communicate with his players. And Justin Fields needs to be on that field when the bullets are flying for real, where he can get hit. So he can actually start communicating with his players under the anxiety of playing in a game.
All right, so when we look at these two teams, we start with the Jets now here. When you look at everything you just said in terms of their pass game and their pass game struggles they might have early on, wouldn't this be the type of team then you expect a run-first mentality 100%. To start?
Yeah, they got a good offensive line. They got a trio of running backs. There's going to be a lot of play-action passing. They're going to move him out of the pocket a lot. They're going to do some RPO stuff. He'll run. The one good thing that he will do for Jet fans that you haven't seen is that he'll get you three or four first downs a game just by, you know, either extending a play or having Tanner Engstrom give him an RPO. You know, he's that kind of quarterback. So you'll see that from Justin Fields without question. The real question is going to be the accuracy, you know, the processing of defenses and just being able to handle the pressure that he's handled a little bit. He just has not ascended to the first round draft pick that he turned out to be.
All right, this might be in the weeds a little bit, but see, something just popped in my head when you talked about the run pass option play. That to me seems like an incredibly difficult thing to decide in a fraction of a second, whether you're going to hand it off, keep it, throw it, whatever it is.
But he's used to doing it.
Why is that processing so easy for some and yet seeing down the field not?
Well, I mean, I never ran an RPO. I never did that. So I don't have any, you know, experience doing that. I've only watched these younger quarterbacks that are move quarterbacks. You know, they would do that with Josh Allen up in Buffalo, and they probably still do a little bit of it, probably not nearly as much. Even Brian Daboll told us when we talked to him about coaching Josh Allen. Josh Allen would yell in the phone, you know, I need to get hit. I need to get hit. Call an RPO. Call an RPO. That maniac needed to get hit. So for these kids, especially athletic quarterbacks like this, that's a part of their game. That's the way they played in high school. That's the way they played in college. And that's the way they're going to play in the NFL.
You know,
that's why Lamar Jackson's been doing all that a lot less than what he used to. Because the passing now is now up the standard to a top five passer in the league. So you don't need to do quite as much as that. But as long as you still have that in your offense and Derrick Henry and a good offensive line, now what does the defense do? Is the defense going to play with eight guys around the line of scrimmage, seven guys around the line of scrimmage? They got wide receivers all over the place. They got tight ends. So they really create a full complement of difficulties for an opposing defense when you play against somebody like a Lamar Jackson, who now has ascended to one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
All right, so now bringing it back to the Giants, because we talked briefly about them. You said something. You said Russell Wilson is going to get you to the fourth quarter, either within a score or with the lead. And all I think about is, in a world where the Giants struggled to score touchdowns for the last several years, I mean, really, it seemed like touchdown drives were so rare. Doing that game with you last year in October, they couldn't get the ball in the end zone. Now they've got a guy who's kind of, maybe at this stage of his career, not as much, but he's known for getting the ball in the end zone. Can you imagine living in a world where we're watching the Giants actually score points?
That would be nice. Now, I will say that he's careful. He's very careful, does not want to make a mistake. The older he's gotten, the more careful he's become. But he's always been that way, but he has been accurate, and he throws a great deep ball. So I would think we're going to see at least three or four of those shots a game.
A game.
To Malik Nabers. I would think that's going to be a big part of something that the Giants really haven't had a lot of, and that is like big plays on offense.
None.
So, but to me, Russell is a stopgap, and he's a guy that can get you in and out of the huddle, get you a line of scrimmage, get you into the play that you want to have, and then just not turn the ball over.
Right.
I mean, what's killing the Giants is last year they got no turnovers and they turned the ball over and they had too many injuries on offense.
And kicked too many field goals, honestly.
Yeah.
Couldn't finish drives.
Exactly. So I just think that Malik Nabers should have a big year with Russell as long as Russell's healthy and they're winning. Then I think, you know, it's a winning combination. Is it a Super Bowl winning combination? No.
No, but they can look like a pro football team.
Yes.
Again.
They should be able to do that. I mean, and that's why you go get a safe Russell Wilson. And I know that it's maybe not this NFL that we see with the top five or six, seven quarterbacks in the league. But for what the Giants need right now, that's exactly what they need. And if they want rambunctiousness, they'll get it from their young quarterback when he's ready.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Tiki on vacation for most of this week, I believe. Evan will be back tomorrow. Junk and Irishman did bring up on Twitter, wasn't Evan Roberts just off for 5 weeks in Europe? I think he's really treating his role like he is the new Mike Francesa. So I think that is accurate.
Yeah, he was so, like, in his feels about taking today off.
Yeah,
like
he felt guilty.
He kept trying to justify taking what he calls a random day off. No, it's just a day off. People take days off. You don't even have to call it a random day off. He's like, thankfully I took, this is last night, thankfully I took tomorrow off because I have two kids with me at SummerSlam. You're not in Siberia. You're in
and it's okay
you're in
to
New
take
Jersey.
A day off.
And it's fine, but he just always feels, and it's something we're going to talk about in a little bit, was his Super Bowl, by the way, that the Giants put out there. That you talk about, yeah. Nobody knows the history of the station more than Evan and goes down the rabbit holes of clips and old bits like Evan. For that to come out today, for him not to be here, I'm sure he's going to do it tomorrow too, is probably eating at him.
Yeah, and we'll get to what you're teasing, but I did want to bring up Evan. There was a point this morning, I'm not going to lie to you, that I forgot I was kind of in the Evan role. You were in the Tiki role.
Some work ethic. You forgot that you're sitting here in the afternoon drive. We're sitting in a studio that was, well, they didn't sit in here, but, well, Mike did, but Dog did, and Craig and Evan and Teak now and everybody. And you forgot?
Because it's a one-off. Evan's in all week, but Evan texted in our group chain. We have, the show group text that goes on, and he texted something about Russell Wilson, which I want to talk about now, but it stuck with me for like a good hour this morning. I was working out, insert joke here, doing this. And then it hit me. I was like, wait a minute, Evan's out today. He had texted like he wanted our thoughts to do that as a topic today.
Yes.
Now I'm going to do it as the topic anyway. Russell Wilson yesterday appeared at SummerSlam at MetLife Stadium, which from all the MetLife Stadium haters, boy, did you have your weekend, because I checked in to see how it looked, and I watched last night's Cena match.
Yeah.
Boy, did MetLife Stadium play even uglier for wrestling on TV.
Yeah,
than
but are you surprised,
football.
Though? It's just gross looking.
I do think we overrate how bad a misstep MetLife Stadium's in. Like, when I'm in MetLife Stadium, it's fine, but it looks, it just looks ugly. It looked even uglier with a wrestling ring inside of it. But that's neither here nor there. That's not even my main point. My main point is Russell Wilson appears last night.
Shocking.
He's got a Giants wrestling belt. He's leaning into the whole Russell Wilson thing.
Yeah.
And I saw Awful announcing a couple others put the video out. It is not overwhelming at all, but there's some boos for Russell Wilson. It's definitely more boos than any other reaction. It's either a non-reaction or boos is the video. And I think Evan's take was going to be, boy, Giant fans turning on Russell Wilson, they want Dart already. Not my take. Here's the unfortunate truth about an event like SummerSlam over the last few nights.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
There are outliers to every fan base. So I'm not telling you this stands for every single person in the fan base. That is your disclaimer.
Okay.
That being said, we all know these people. If you are not somebody that attends wrestling events without children. Now,
hold on a second.
Hold on.
Wait. Before you even say that, because I have to defend my fellow brethren in the wrestling community. The overwhelming majority of people that go to wrestling events don't bring their children. It is very popular in adults, 18 to 49,
older,
and you don't necessarily have to have children with you.
Tommy, if you're not bringing your kids, it's not a father-son thing, or a mother-son, mother-daughter, father-son, whatever. You're
so
not
me,
doing that.
Basically, because I go to wrestling events. Got it.
I believe you hit a point in life, whether it's right out of high school, maybe it's in high school, and we all do, where you start making a decision about Monday Night Raw versus Monday Night Football. Now people watch Raw on delay now. Things are a little different. And those who prefer the wrestling, I think when it comes to the football
world, that prefer the wrestling.
Somebody that would take hard-earned money and go to SummerSlam without kids last night as a grown adult, generally speaking in this town, are going to be Jet fans, Cowboy fans, or dare I even say maybe some Eagle fans travel up the Turnpike. The New York Giants, for all their warts, their fan base, is a much more mature and sophisticated fan base overwhelmingly, and they are not the type that is going to go plunk down money and go watch grown men wrestle to a script. So the reason Russell Wilson got booed last night is, no, Evan, it's not because Giants fans were there booing him. It's because, like it or not, and I know there's going to be some Jet fans turned off by this, and it's not a shot at all of you. Generally speaking, less mature adults go to wrestling as adults. Okay, and those less mature individuals generally find themselves as Cowboy and Jet fans.
So you're saying,
so to speak,
the Giant fan that has always been known as, you know, blue collar, Jerseyans, Long Island guys. Yeah. Now you have them as, like, you know, high fluting society.
They're more mature, yes.
Like they're putting their dogs in their purse and they're more likely to be at the U.S. Open tennis than at a wrestling event.
You're thinking of this the
wrong
way.
Well, that's the way I took it. And by the way,
they got better things to do on a Saturday and Sunday in the summertime than be at SummerSlam, where the Jet fan is basically funneling beers in the parking lot, still searching for a significant other, and hanging out with their bros until they're 45 years old, bringing, you know, Michael Clemens shows up with the baseball bat, which, you know, the Jets are synonymous with wrestling.
They're not going to find their significant other in the parking lot out of a wrestling event, I would probably venture that guess. Nice try. I think that I know what you're doing, and I feel like the better take and the more, you know, sane take and the more mature take is that when WWE puts on a WrestleMania, or in this case a SummerSlam, it does attract a lot of people that aren't living in that state. It's a destination. So to your point, although I'll say it a lot nicer, you probably did have a lot of Philly fans there. There's Cowboy fans everywhere. Jet fans, of course, and they don't, why would they like Russell Wilson, et cetera, et cetera. I would guess it's not like he was at the Garden and got booed, even though that could be touristy too. I would guess the majority of the fans that booed Russell Wilson were non-Giant fans, because I don't understand why a Giant fan
Giant
would
fans
boo.
Wouldn't boo.
They wouldn't boo him. But this idea
they
that
might
a
boom
Giant...
In a month. Yeah, they boom him now.
Right. This idea that a Giant fan is somehow above going to a wrestling event.
Most are.
And you look down at wrestling like it's, and I understand, oh, it's the guys that live with their parents and they have, you know, neck beards and they live, you know, in their mom's basement and they watch Murder, She Wrote and there's plastic on the couch. I understand that's the, oh, and by the way, when you look at the wrestling fans here, it's hard to argue it outside of me.
Yeah.
But, so I get where you're coming from. But I think that's a little bit of a low blow.
I
know we're talking wrestling, but I think that was a little bit of a low
blow.
And a shot at the Jet fan. And I thought you had, I don't want to use the wrong
word. It's not
word
a shot
again,
at Jet fans.
I thought you rehabbed your relationship with Jet fans.
I know.
You just basically said that none of them are married and they're looking for chicks in a parking lot that's at an event with 95% males at it.
You missed the disclaimer. I said there are outliers in every fan base. And there's plenty of Jet fans right now listening to me going, he's absolutely correct. Unfortunately, a lot of adults that go to these big wrestling events without kids, some would say they're not normal human beings.
I do that though. So I do that.
Point proven?
What part of me, I am the epitome, that's probably the right word, of normal. I don't have children, all right? I'll be 40 in a couple weeks. Please send me money.
40 without kids, okay. Yep, go on.
Yeah. And I love wrestling, and I've always loved wrestling.
You having a 41st birthday party without your wife taking friends to Nashville this weekend?
No, because I'm turning 40, dummy.
So you turn 40, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So
all right,
are you asking me, am I going on a bro trip?
Yeah.
None yet. Any business. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I do what I do. You do what you do. You don't have to worry about what I'm doing. That's number one. Number two, I go to wrestling events and I don't find in any way it to be embarrassing. And I don't think that just because you're a Jet fan, what fan bases did you insult here? Jet fans?
Cowboys for sure.
Well, I'm not going to defend a Cowboy fan. I'll defend you, the Jet fan, even though Positive Tommy was fired from the Jets last year. Although that was by Evan, not by the Jet fan.
Just saying, they're not.
This was just a veiled attempt, I think that was the right word, to take a shot at
It's
Jet
not taking
fan.
A shot. I
yes,
like the
is.
Jet fan. I do. I like
you
the Jet fan.
You basically said that they're on, you know, dating sites, and they took a break from that to go watch a bunch of guys in spandexes and girls, too, roll around and
I'm sorry.
Fake
do you,
fight.
Do you think the adults last night booing Russell Wilson are not on dating websites and basically waiting to draft Justin Fields on the fantasy team right now? Do you think that those are not those
people?
Well,
again, I don't know. What are you, Brad Pitt? Buddy, from where I'm sitting, you should be lucky that somebody decided to get married and have children with you. You're not exactly walking around here chiseled out of granite. You're not tiki. So this idea that you, of all people, are going to insult someone's dating life or their looks or their ability to attract the opposite sex, when you sit there and you look like, you know, if my thumb or if my big toe had a mouth, it would look like you. I really don't understand, like, where you're coming from here, other than to take a shot at the Jets.
I have been ugly for the better part of my life.
Right.
I have.
You've been fatter longer than you've been bald.
I've
maybe
always been meant to look 40, and I'm closing in, and it feels great.
Okay.
888.
Can I just say one quick thing? Because we're having a little fun here. I think last night, though, proved even further. This is just my take, because I know you're higher on it than, or more open to it than I am. Russell Wilson is here to be a celebrity. That's it. If he happens to win games, fine. I'm not saying he's not taking the right preparation or doesn't want to be the starting quarterback. But Russell Wilson is on the Giants in New York City to be seen at events, to grow his brand, and to be a celebrity and a star. That's it. That's why he is here. And maybe they catch a little bit of the lightning in a bottle, or they turn back the clock with him and the Giants win some games and he's the starting quarterback, you know, through the year, and they make the playoffs. That would be amazing. I'm certainly rooting for that. But it just feels like the guy cares more about being seen at these events than he does being the quarterback.
I think those two things go hand in hand. I think he's definitely looking for that, but I think he's looking to make plays. But he got booed. I hope you Jet and Cowboy fans that did that enjoyed yourselves at SummerSlam.
You and I were talking about, you know, a couple of these teams who are the worst teams in the league, and I think we both kind of settled on both the Saints.
Yeah.
Right?
And Browns.
And the Browns. So I was looking at some of the Super Bowl odds, and of course the Saints are 300-1. Tennessee is 250-1. The Browns are 200-1, along with the Giants and Jets. So the Giants, Jets, and Browns are all 200-1 odds to get to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Their conference, to win their conference, 75-1 for both the Jets and the Giants, and 101 for both the Browns and the Saints.
Mm.
Now, their win over under totals, I don't think it's changed much since we last talked about it. Both the Jets and the Giants are at 5.5.
Yeah, they are. So the worst is the Browns at 4.5. The Saints are actually 5.5 because they play in an easier division, I guess. But yeah, the Jets are 5.5. The Giants are 5.5. Browns 4.5. Titans 5.5. Saints 5.5.
And you have four teams that have 11.5 numbers, and that's the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Eagles, which you would think.
Yeah. And for the Jets to make the playoffs, it's plus 450. And for the Giants, it's plus 800.
Now, there's usually a team or two that goes from last place to first place in their division every year.
Okay.
Any idea which one of those teams? Jets. I think the Jets and Giants are both in that. The Jets weren't last in their division, were they?
No, they weren't the Patriots.
Yeah.
Let's see. No, let's see. I'll tell you right now because I don't remember off the top of my head. Yeah, it was the Patriots.
They
yeah.
were 4-13, and the Jets were 5-12.
I'm going to say.
So here are your candidates.
Okay.
Your candidates for worst to first within their division: Patriots, Browns, Titans, Raiders, Giants, Bears, Saints, 49ers.
Well, the 49ers is the obvious one.
That would be the obvious one, especially if, you know, man, I don't know what's going on with Matthew Stafford and his back out there in L.A.
Yeah, that's the obvious one. I would also say, as much as it pains me to say it, if things work out with Ben Johnson there in Chicago, it could be the Bears.
Because you have the Bills in the AFC East, it's unlikely that either one of those three teams are going to topple the Bills unless Josh Allen gets hurt.
Yeah, that would be the only thing.
But just goes to show you, like, I mean, and I know they have a good roster up there in Buffalo, but I mean, when you have the dynamic quarterback, and the dynamic quarterback leads to a lot of things. It leads to a lot of wins. It leads to new stadiums. It leads to new lease arrangements with cities for new stadiums.
Sure.
And because everybody within that city is now all buying in, and watching Josh up at training camp this year and watching the interaction with the fans and everything, you know, he's just marching in the same footsteps that Jim Kelly once did.
Absolutely, and we know there's one thing that eluded Jim Kelly, and Josh Allen's been trying to bring it there since he got drafted.
Well, he had been to four Super Bowls. Josh hasn't gotten one there yet. So,
what about the Titans if Cam Ward ends up being Jaden Daniels? They could go from
or C.J. Stroud.
Oh yeah, or C.J. Stroud. Yeah,
you know, I mean, C.J. Stroud had a great rookie year. Maybe took a little bit of a step back last year, but yeah, I mean, if he becomes Jaden Daniels, I guess there's a shot. Because, you know, you got a new coach down in Jacksonville.
Duval.
Quarterback situation in Indianapolis. Right? And then, of course, you have, you know, then you have the Texans. I think the Texans are the best team in that division, but.
Yeah, so where are you right now with the Jets and Giants over under 5.5? I mean, I can't. I could never bet on the over, actually bet on the over. I just couldn't. I mean, I think the Jets have a better chance at it.
Can he get them to 7 wins? That's what it will take. If he's doing the Parcell thing,
well, it's going to take 6 things to get over 5.5. But yeah,
but I'm just thinking in my head, can he get them to 7 wins? But if he's doing the Parcells situation, which I believe he is, and we've talked about it since he got the job, about cleaning up the problems that they had last year. In other words, getting turnovers, stop giving up turnovers, and the penalty situation. Just by minimizing those areas and their defense getting more turnovers as opposed to getting steamrolled,
yeah,
they should win more games. I think their schedule is a little bit lighter than, they have. I mean, they can be on par with a lot of their teams depending on how Justin Fields plays. And I'm telling you, what's going to drive people crazy with him is it's just going to be the inaccuracies. It's another new offense for him. It's what, his fourth offense now. He's got to learn that. He's never played with these guys. He's never had these coaches. There's a lot of learning and a lot of uncomfortableness that he's probably experiencing.
If you had to pick one of the two, would you pick the Jets to go over? If you had to pick one of the two? I know you were enamored with the Giants when we were there. But
I think the Giants are going to go over.
You do?
I do.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to go over.
So you think they'll win 6 games at the very least?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I can't say that.
As a friend of mine said, just can we somehow stay relevant until Thanksgiving? Meaning the Giants.
That's a tough one. I mean, that's 11 games into the season.
I just got to believe their defense is going to be so much more competitive. I mean, they got barely any turnovers last year.
No, I know. And they should be. But the schedule is very difficult. I know we talk about, we don't know what the teams are going to look like when they play them. But still, fact of the matter is, it's difficult.
So you got Jaden Daniels, Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert, your first 4 weeks.
Yep.
There you go. You got 4 all-pro quarterbacks.
Yeah, is there a situation you think where Brian Daboll and Joe Shane keep their job if they win 4 or 5 games, but Jackson Dart the last 3 or 4 weeks looks the part? And
yeah, I think that would be the thing. If they're not winning, but they have this rookie quarterback, why would you want to then start over with another coaching staff? You know, bringing in another offense.
The win total would be so bad.
But let's say they end up with the first overall draft pick, and Arch Manning is sitting there.
Yeah.
Now everything changes.
Sure.
The whole world changes. So, nothing is ever etched in stone. But I got to believe that their defense is going to be better. I think their offense should be good enough, and I think Russell will be careful enough that instead of losing games in the fourth quarter, they're going to have chances to win the games in the fourth quarter. And if Abdul Carter is as good as people think he is, and he has shown on the practice field, and Cam Scadaboo gets through this injury and he becomes, a force to be reckoned with on offense, Andrew Thomas is healthy, Brian Burns does what Brian Burns does. I don't know why. They have some of the best players at their respective positions potentially.
Yeah, on defense,
and
for sure.
I mean, neighbors on top of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, it's the stars being stars. Malik Nabers, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Abdul Carter, those guys. I mean, that's really what it is.
All right, back to the Giants quickly. Who knows what to expect from the offense with Russell Wilson, but count former Eagle Chris Long among those fired up to watch the defense work, specifically in pass rushing situations.
This is the reason I really want to watch this team play. They might have the best NASCAR package in football.
So that'll be Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, rookie Abdul Carter, and then rounding out the foursome.
By the way, Dexter Lawrence, per Pro Football Focus, 96 pressures at 0 nose compared to the second highest player over the last 3 years with 20.
Wow.
Bro, he is a one-man wrecking crew. You should hear people talk about him.
And he referenced one guy in particular, now retired, but a name we all are certainly familiar with.
You should hear Jason Kelsey talk about Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence makes Pro Bowl players look drunk out there, powerless.
And Long just couldn't contain himself on Lawrence, full-blown football man crush on the guy.
He had like Cam Jurgens in a baby Bjorn last year at one point. Like, it's crazy, dude. Like, sometimes it just looks like he's moving furniture out there, dude.
But so he's a big fan.
Yeah, and this is why, to me, if the defense now with Abdul Carter, and you talk about the better secondary and what they've done, if they are as advertised and they can turn teams over just a little bit, because last year was like pulling teeth, if they can turn teams over just even a little bit, and with what I think is going to be in a much improved passing, downfield passing game, like they should be, I can't believe I say this, they should be fun to watch.
Yeah, but fun to watch is when you're able to put up points, too.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. We've watched a team that can't get in the end zone for the last 8 years. They right. should be able to score points and turn teams over, and I don't think their season's going to be over October 8th. I don't.
Better not be. Well, we say that every year.
I know. Yeah, I know. But I don't know why it feels different to me. And I know what the schedule is. I know. But I also know that they always play well against Washington. The Cowboys, I have no idea what to expect. All right, the Chiefs. The Chargers, they lost their left tackle. Who knows? The Saints stink. I mean, you've got 5 weeks to where they could be a real NFL team. That's not asking too much. I'm not saying they're going to be 5-1 or after 6 weeks or whatever, but why can't they win a couple of games?
I mean, they can.
First 3 weeks.
I mean, it's just the first. That's where I was going. I mean, like Washington, we expect to be better. Dallas, I think, will be better, especially with the addition of Pickens and hopefully Dak remains healthy and he looks good. I mean, Kansas City's Kansas City. You know what I mean? It's this team at San Diego is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, this team, the offense doesn't produce. So, this team could be in trouble early.
So we can do a couple things here. We can do exactly what you just did, and I think that's the popular take. I can also sit there and say Washington doesn't have a Terry McLaurin, and year two, sometimes for quarterbacks, they take a step back. I can say Dak hasn't played in almost a full calendar year. He's rusty to start. Micah's pissed off. The defense stinks. The Chiefs use September like it's preseason. Maybe they're not so good, and the Giants are all hyped up coming home, and the Chargers and Justin Herbert and the left tackle, maybe they overrun that offensive line.
Right.
I mean, I can make a case that they
we can play the pros and cons game, but I think to CeeLo's point, like, we've been down this road with the Giants. Like, we kind of know, year after year, we kind of know how this story ends.
Cowboys have owned them as well for a while.
I know that. I'm
yeah, I know you of all people are.
I just feel like, I don't know.
My question to you is there one particular player? Is there one particular situation? Meaning,
I think defensively they're going to be one of the best defensive teams in football.
Well, I thought their front seven was kick ass last year. Now with the back end playing better because of the additions they have with Holland and Paulison, I think they're going to be better. I agree, but you still got to score.
Well,
and nobody knows. We watched Russell play better with the Steelers, but he couldn't throw in the middle of the field. He took too many bad sacks.
Understood.
So now he's playing with an offensive line that's
right.
Mid
at best. You know what I mean? So it's like, what are we getting from the offense?
But maybe they're put in better position this year. Maybe they have more short fields than they've had. Maybe when they actually get in the red zone, I don't know, they put the ball in the end zone.
No, I would feel better about the Giants. Like you're talking about, there's something about them that makes you feel like they're going to have a better season. I would feel better if they had a run game to help Russell out. They don't have a run game to kind of complement what he's capable of doing. Everybody knows Russell Wilson's a better quarterback when he has a running game. They don't have a run game. So I would feel better. I'm kind of like CeeLo. I'm like, you know what I mean? I know what they are capable of, but we're looking at an older quarterback without a run game. And an offensive line that's kind of mid at this point.
This is where when Jerry pushes back on the idea that he's, you know, negative and angry, here he is, positivity, optimism, upbeat.
Yeah, almost
to
a fault sometimes with these teams. But, I just feel like I think they're going to play well. And mostly because I think defensively they're going to be really good.
Let's hope.
I think Dallas is going to play better. I think Dallas is the dark horse in that division.